know for sure what I'm going to do. I wanted us to think a little bit further about the passages in Ephesians. Of course, I'll be there for a while anyway. Because when it comes to the armor, we're probably going to take you to one of those one by one. I don't think you can do them all at once. But today I want us to think about, if you pull out your outline, which is in your bulletin, which would be helpful for you to read scriptures I'm going to read and make some notes. I'm entitled today, I Will Stand Firm in the Lord. And it's already been mentioned that we need to do that. Ephesians chapter 6, 13, verse 13 and 14 talk about standing firm. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and then the rest of that. Stand firm. I'm convinced that in this world, in our culture today, there's a great need for us to stand firm in our faith in Christ and in our convictions in Christ. I'm convinced that there is, I guess we'd have to say, the devil's attempt through people to erode Christian faith and Christian standards. I think, as I think about it, we are where we are as a nation where I never thought we would be. I've seen some things happen in this country that changes and some standards that have been adopted and some other things taking place that I never dreamed I would see in my lifetime. So there's a need for us to stand firm in the things we know about Christ. And so I want to think about that. This passage says, having done it all, to stand firm, to stay put, to endure, whatever. So I want to think that is our thought for the morning. So the first thing, if you've got your outline out, is stand firm like Jesus. Stand firm like Jesus. I'll suggest a couple of ways that he did that as our example and as the one who helps us to stand firm. The first passage is in Matthew chapter 4, which has to do with the temptation of Jesus when he was tempted by the enemy. And so the tempter came and said to him, that is to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Jesus was tempted by the enemy to take a shortcut to salvation. The devil was saying, now Jesus, you really don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to go through all that pain and suffering. He didn't specifically say that, but I think that was the background of what he was thinking. He says, if you'll just do this, you'll just make these stones bread, you can do that, and you'll be all right. Then he does two other times, if you remember that account. But Jesus said what? I'm not doing it. He stood firm in his convictions and what he came to do, and in the Word of God, which I'll talk more about the Word in a minute. But I see Jesus standing firm in a time when he was being tempted to disobey, tempted to do things different than God. Are you ever tempted to do things different than God says? Yeah, we are. But Jesus is our example. I'm saying he knows how to do it. He stood firm. Second area is when he comes to the cross, just prior to that, and he faces the future that's coming in a few short hours, when he prays in the garden, if you remember, in Matthew 26 records it, so do some of the others. But as Jesus met with the disciples prior to the cross, it says he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knew what was coming. But Jesus also knew that the only way we could have salvation and be right with God is that he had to do what he had to do. And in the midst of that, he stands firm. He stands solid that I came to do the will of the Father, and if that cost him his life, he was going to do it. So he stood firm. And there are a lot of other scriptures that would perhaps verify that, but I just want to suggest that he's my example. He stood firm. By his grace, I can stand firm in the things of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad he did? Oh, man, if he had given up, we'd all been a world hurt. We'd be in trouble. But he stayed true to all that the Father called him to do over and over again. So when I think about standing firm like Jesus, first thing is stand firm on God's Word. Stand firm on God's Word. Scripture says, well, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to do this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. He talks about these believers in the city of Thessalonica. And he says to them that he called you through the gospel that they, through the glory of Christ, they might stand firm in the teachings. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the teachings in the New Testament. They had not all been written then, but he is sharing them with them. He said, things are passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And obviously, Paul had written some letters. What I'm suggesting is today, I want to stand firm on God's Word. All of God's Word. We need to come, and maybe you're already convinced, I don't have to convince you. This is the last word on everything. I'm going to stand firm on what it says. When it said God created heaven and earth, he did it. When it tells about Jesus dying on the cross, he did it. When it tells me I'm to be kind, I'm going to be kind. When it tells me Jesus is the only way to salvation, it's the only way. I'm going to stand firm on this book. I sense that there is a great deal of attempt on the part of some to cause us to ignore Scripture or to pervert Scripture. I would like to think that every time somebody talks about the Bible, they tell the truth. But it's not so. There are some individuals who come around your house, they're not going to tell you the truth about the Bible. There are some individuals on some of the TV programs and radio programs who are not telling you the truth. I'm going to stand firm on the Word of God and understand it and apply it to my life. If God's Word says it, it's so. And if God tells me to do something, that's what I need to do. So I must stand firm on Scripture and be able to say, this is what God says. Now, how are you going to be able to say, this is what God says? How are you going to know if that's what God said or not? You have to be in it yourself. You have to be reading it. See, we challenge you to read the Bible, and it's more than an exercise or a routine or some daily devotion. I need to be in the Word, and you need to be in the Word, so when I hear something, I know what the Word has said in the first place because I read it. I've studied it. I'm thinking about it. I don't expect you to take my word for what I tell you today. I don't. But I do expect you to take what the Bible says about a subject or a matter and search it out for yourself. If you leave today questioning what I've said and you go look it up for yourself, it's been a good day. I'm serious. Hopefully, I'm always trying to tell you the truth, but that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is you need to be in the book so that when something comes up and you say, I know this is what the Word says, then that's what I'm going to stand on. Stand firm on the Word of God, as the Word of God. It is His Word. It is the last Word. And the Bible says that God's Word is going to last how long? Forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. So when all is said and done and this world is over, the truth of God and the Word of God is still going to be present. And when we meet the living Savior, this is still going to be there. It's the Word of God and it lasts forever. And I'm going to stand firm on it because I know it's the Word of God. I'm going to stand firm on what it says. Now, I'm going to suggest one way where that takes place. In recent times, we had an individual who was challenged and asked to bake a cake for a homosexual couple, and he refused to do so. Why did he refuse to do so? Because he's bigoted? Because he's prejudiced? Why did he say, I can't do that? the Word of God said he can't be. It's wrong. He was challenged. He went through a whole lot of hassle, but do you know what? He won. The Supreme Court said he didn't have to do it. He could stand on his own convictions. Now, if he hadn't stood firm, guess what? Because once you cave in on one area, and you do it one time, our society who doesn't know Jesus is going to push you to cave in the next time, and the next time, and the next time until we're wiped out. My conviction is that the society around us, some of the society, not all of them, I understand that, but there are some who want to get us shut up, quiet up, closed out, and forgotten. But I got to say, if the Word says it, I have to accept it, and I have to believe it, not only about homosexuality, but about being kind to one another, or being the Word, or prayer, or other things. You see, sometimes I can pick on certain things that, you know, that was wrong, but what about other things? Am I gossiping? Am I lying? Am I being honest? All those things are just as important as the rest of it, is it not? In the principle of God, no matter which one you want to pick out, they're all valuable because the Word says it, and that means God wants me to do it, and I'm going to stand firm on it by doing it in my own life. This is how I stand firm on God's Word. It don't do me much good to say I'm standing firm on God's Word, and then I don't do it myself. The Bible indicates if I break one of the commandments, I broke them all. So I can't allow myself to say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. It matters if it's in God's Word and I'm doing it or not doing it. It all matters. And it affects my relationship to God. Doesn't make me lost, but I need to stand firm on the Word of God. Secondly, our third area is stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, in my relationship to Christ. The Scripture says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power He has even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Is this true of God? It says, our citizenship is in heaven. You're a believer. You're a Christian. We wait for the Savior who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. Hallelujah. He's going to give us a new life, a new body. By the power He has even to subject all things to Himself. Because He has that power. Because this is what He's going to do. I stand firm in the Lord who is all-powerful, all-knowing. And I know that He is the one I could trust. Folks, I pray that all of us understand the number one thing is our personal relationship to Christ. Not only getting saved first, but also walking with Him. I shouldn't say this, I guess, but I will. You can come to a worship service, but if you're not walking with Jesus, you're missing out on what God wants you to do. It's Him. You're not here to hear a message per se. You're not here to sing songs per se. You're here to meet the living God in the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit and to encounter Him, and that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do. That we might live and meet and encounter God, the living God, through the Holy Spirit when we come together to worship. And that's to be our focus. He is the one we worship. Worship is for glorifying Him. We like it. We enjoy it. But if I look at worship only for what I get out of it, I'm in trouble. Because my focus is to be on the living God who died for me on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and coming back. And He is going to be the center of everything that's coming along. I want to be centered in Jesus and solid and firm about my relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand firm in the Lord that I belong to Him. And I'm getting to know Him better. We've all got room to grow in knowing Jesus. But thank you, Lord, that He lets us grow. He doesn't condemn us because we're not there yet, but He doesn't want us to be making progress by learning, by sharing, by growing in the Lord, being in the Word, living that out. Stand firm in the Lord. I'm going to stand firm in my relationship to Jesus. Another issue that you've heard about, probably mentioned about, was a coach who recently, when he got through, I heard some more about this, that he had committed his life to the Lord and said if God blessed him, allowed him to do the coaching, he'd give God praise. So after every game, he would go out on the field, kneel, and pray. Well, he got challenged, told he couldn't do it anymore. Why did he pray? Because he wanted to look good? He wanted to give honor to his Lord and Savior who had saved him and allowed him to do the job he was doing. That's why he did it. And he stood firm and did it till they told him he couldn't do it anymore. Well, I'm saying, you understand why I'm saying we need to stand firm? We've got to. Now, we don't need to be rude and crude about it. But we need to say, this is what God says, and I'm going to stand on it. Because if we don't, the world around us, the lost world, is going to close us up if they can. Praise God, He's going to live forever, and the kingdom of God's going to go on forever. And so when we stand for Jesus, we're standing for eternity. Not just for the moment, but for forever. Because He's going to last forever. And so I'll stand firm in the Lord in my relationship to Jesus. So if you're going to have a solid a stand for God and for truth, you need to know Jesus, the Savior and Lord in here. You know that you belong to Him. I'm grateful that I know I belong to Him. Not because I deserve it, not because I earned it, but He saved my soul a long time ago and He changed my life. And He's still changing it, praise the Lord. He hadn't quit yet. Stand firm in the Lord. On the other side of your notes, stand firm for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus. It says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now notice He didn't say we have to be worth it. But we live in a way that brings honor to the gospel. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. We conduct ourselves for the good news, the gospel. Striving together, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What are we talking about? We're talking about that the only way that a person can ever be right with God is through Jesus Christ who died on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and coming back. Through that action, that shed blood of Jesus, everybody can be saved, and only through Him. We are hearing in some measures, in some places today, that the gospel doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. You can all take all kinds of routes and get to God, as long as you're sincere, as long as you go and do this, as long as you're religious or whatever. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. And we need to share the gospel of Jesus because that's the only way people are going to be saved. They can do whatever they want. They can go to whatever religious stuff they want to do. They can read their Bibles. They can be good. They can be honest. Whatever Jesus isn't going to say, did you do all that? When you meet Him in heaven, He's going to say, do you know Jesus, the Savior and Lord? And if you don't know Him, you're going to miss out. We need to remember that. That's the good news. Stand firm that if a person, we don't have to be rude about it, but we do need to be honest about it. It said on the other verse that I put on your notes is, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, and act like men. Be strong. We need to tell people the truth. And the truth is, if you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord through faith in Him, you're going to go to hell. And we don't like that. But that's what the Word says. And I need to ask God to break my heart. Burden my soul when I see somebody. Is that man or woman born or going to hell or not? Because if the Bible says that's the ultimate, and I want to share Jesus with them so they can go to heaven with me. I'm not interested. I like them to come to worship. I like them to do things, but that isn't going to save them. It's Jesus. And so I want to stand firm that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, I'm going to share. With love and grace, I'm not talking about rude and crude. I'm not talking about trying to back them in a corner and beat them over the head with it. No, that don't work. But I want to tell them the truth that just Jesus loved them. And this is why they need Him. Because without Jesus, every one of us is lost in a sinner. We don't know Him and we're separated from Him. And I want to stand firm for the gospel. I thought about in the New Testament. When the disciples were threatened, they said, now you can't talk about Jesus anymore. If you talk about Jesus, we're going to cut your head off. We're going to kill you. Now remember that you remember what the disciples said. Will it be right in sight of God or not? We have to keep on talking about the good news of Jesus, and we're going to do it. And they did. I'm glad they did, because I'm a recipient, you're a recipient of their stand back then for the faith of the good news of Christ, and it's come down to others who stood the same way. We've had all through history, there are people who stand for Jesus. Stand firm for the gospel. Right today, right now, this very moment, in some countries, there are people who stood firm for Jesus who are in trouble. Some of us know, Steve and Jennifer, who are in China, as far as I know, two of the people who serve them are still in the Chinese labor camp for standing up for Jesus. That's all. Will it ever happen in this country? I hope not. But it can. I've said to you, it may be if some of these things happen and I'm told I got to do certain things and perform certain ceremonies, I'm not doing it, so you may have to come to visit me in the county jail or wherever. I'm not doing it. We've got to stand for the good news of Jesus. We've got to stand because the lost world needs to know there's a Savior. And if we cave in, they don't have any hope. We've got to keep telling the gospel. It's good news of Jesus. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. It's not complicated, really, is it? Jesus loved us enough to come to this earth, to die, to be born as a baby, become a human, lived here for a period of time, died on a cross for our sins, rose again the third day, ascended to heaven, coming back. That's simple. But that's what we need to talk about. We're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about believing certain things. He's talking about knowing Jesus. Now, the things about that's important, but I'm saying I need to stand firm in the good news, the gospel. The Scripture says that we're standing for the faith of the gospel, no way alarmed by your opponents. Don't let them upset us. Just keep on going. Because as a child of God, when we stand for God, are we on the winning side? We're on the winning side. Our God is going to take care of us, even if we do get persecuted. So I'm saying stand firm for the gospel, because we put on the armor to do that. The next area is stand firm because it is a continuing battle. Stand firm because there is a continuing battle. You're familiar with this passage in 1 Peter. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I know that ultimately when Jesus died on the cross, He said it is finished. He won the victory. But I don't see anywhere where the devil laid down and died. Do you? Do you see any evidence that he's still around? Do you see any evidence in your own life that he's still around? Do you ever find yourself and you're trying to pray and all of a sudden something zings into your mind, a thought that is totally ungodly and unholy, and you say, where did that come from? Well, it didn't come from him. Where did it come from? It comes from the enemy. He's still around. So what I want to remind myself is I stand firm because it's an ongoing battle. I'd wish that when I became a believer in Christ, it was all over. But it's not until I go to heaven, until Jesus comes and finishes it all up. So what that means is I need to stand firm and be alert, because it's a constant, ongoing challenge to be alert to God. As I mentioned, sometimes even in our quiet time, our devotion time, the devil wants to come. And then there are other times he gets us so busy doing stuff we don't think about God. Or he gets us so preoccupied with a particular issue and we forget about who we're serving. And so what I'm suggesting is I want to stand firm because I know it's an ongoing battle. So that means I need to stay in touch with Jesus all the time. I need to be in touch with His Word all the time. I need to be praying all the time. I need to be saying, God, help me to think about You and love You and be devoted to You all the time, because the battle never quits. I'd like to have one day when there wasn't any battle. But there's not. Do you realize that? There's not a day when the devil lays down and says, okay, I'll leave you alone. If he leaves you alone, you might be in trouble, because he says, you're okay with me, and so I don't need to bug you today. Something to think about, anyway. I can't give you a scripture for that, but I want to remind you that it's an ongoing battle. It really is. I need to be in the Word constantly. I need to be in prayer constantly. I need to worship constantly. I need to be living it out constantly, because it's still going to go on in this world. The good news is, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So the victory is still in Jesus, even though the battle's still on. We know who the winner is, and we stay with Jesus. We're on the winning team. And so let's say, I'm going to stand firm. Even though it's going on, my Savior wins, and I'm going to yield my life to the Savior, and He's going to give me victory day after day, moment by moment, step by step, in whatever's coming my way. So stand firm, because I know it's an ongoing battle. But we win. Standing for Jesus, He always wins. Standing for Jesus, no matter what it costs you, no matter the difficulty, standing for Jesus means I'm on the winning side. I really will. Sometimes I need to remember that, because when I see some things happening in this state and some of the decisions we make and some of the votes we make, it kind of gets me down the dumps when I'm not careful. Because it looks like we're losing spiritual ground in this state. But I need to remember, my Lord is still the victor. Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus is still on the winning side. And we're not defeated just because we lose a battle now and then. Jesus Christ is the winner. And I'm going to stand in Him in the midst of those battles. And I suppose it's maybe a good thing we are in a continuing battle, because it keeps us on our toes. And also reminds us that we're still on the winning side. You see, if there's no battle, it means the enemy thinks they won. They don't need to attack you anymore. Praise the Lord for standing enough for Jesus that He sometimes wants to trip us up, because He knows we're on the right side. The last thing on your notes, stand firm because I'm a citizen of heaven. Stand firm because I am a citizen of heaven. I belong there. Scripture says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power He has even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Do you belong to heaven? Are you a citizen of heaven? I stand firm because I'm a child of the King. I belong to heaven. I'm a citizen of the eternal plans of God. I read some of this earlier in this passage, but when you notice, God has the power to subject all things to Himself. My beloved, He said, as He wrote to those Philippians, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, because I know I'm a child of the King, and I belong to heaven, and I'm going to go there when I die, and everything in me, it belongs to Him. I can stand firm because of the One to whom I belong, and I know I'm a child of the King. I'm a citizen of heaven, and this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, as the psalm says. But I can stand. Now, I know probably I'm preaching to the choir, but folks, my conviction is we are being challenged. And God's people, we must stand firm in the Word, in the truth, in Christ. We've got to. Not just because we want to win, but because there are people out here who are lost and going to hell if we give in. Our eternal Lord, we have to stand up for Him, for His name, for His glory. So when I read this passage, stand firm, I'm saying, God, help me do that. Because sometimes it seems to be a lot easier just to quit. Sometimes you feel like, what's the use? Do you ever feel that way? But there's always a reason our Lord is still winning, still ruling. He is the one I serve. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm a part of heaven. I will do it. And I will stand with love and grace. I'm not saying be rude, crude, but I need to stand with love and grace. Kindness, consideration, but speak the truth. Because our world is not hearing the truth about life and about God and about holiness and about righteousness. They're hearing everything else. And being told, if you don't approve it, you're intolerant and you're a bigot. Because that's what we're being told today. If you don't stand up, if you stand up for truth and right and what God says, you're going to be condemned. You're going to be criticized. But folks, I'd rather be criticized for Jesus than miss out on what He's got in store for me and miss out on eternity with the living God. I want to speak the truth in love. Scripture talks about speaking the truth in love, but I still want to speak it. May God help me and may God help us and all believers to stand firm for the glory of Christ and the salvation of lost souls. If you don't know Jesus today, that's what you need to know. You need to commit your heart and life to Him as Savior and Lord. Nothing else matters beyond that until that happens. Then other things can be important. But that's number one. My prayer is today, if you don't know Him, you'll say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I've sinned against You and asked You to come live in my heart and save me. I want to belong to You. I want to be a part of the kingdom. And He's already died for you. He's waiting for you to accept Him. Now, as a believer, it's my prayer that we'll leave here today with a fresh commitment saying, I'm going to stand firm for Jesus wherever I can. To be a voice for the truth. Shall we bow together?